morning, Grace Assembly. How are you? Good. I am excited to be here this morning and be able to share this morning and the first time in a morning service. So wonderful to be here. But you know, first thing I want to just quick say is that Indy School of Leadership is kicking off in like 4 weeks. So we are right on it. Isn't that exciting from the front on? North Central University had given us a goal of our first year to get everything going and everything solid and all those kind of things of 8 to 10 students. Well, as of today, we have 12, and it looks as if we're growing. So we're a little over, but it's all good. So we're super excited for what God's about to do. And you know, even on what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning, he generally gives me like a theme that I do, because I do a lot of women's conferences throughout the year. And I usually have a theme that he gives me, and then it just kind of moves and morphs into wherever we are and those kinds of things. And I was excited when I felt like the Lord directed me to share that same word this morning. And so I'm super excited to share that with you because I think it's a word of inspiration and of encouragement and all those things that it takes to possess that for which Christ has possessed us for. Can I hear an amen? So just so you know me, in case I don't know you, I am on staff on here at Grace with Indy School of Leadership. But I am someone that if you respond to me, I'll probably preach shorter. Just saying. So when I say amen, you say
amen.
Yeah, see, y'all want to get out of here, don't you? But I think we've got a really great word this morning. And so to kick it off, before I even show you my title screen, I want to ask you this. When someone says to you that they are stuck between a rock and a
hard place,
you're good. You're really good. A rock and a hard place. That's the norm. Am I correct? Well, this morning, our sermon is this, between a rock and a breakthrough. How have you all take that on all day long? Amen? A rock and a breakthrough. And the scripture I'm going to use is, I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me, that ultimate purpose that Christ first possessed me for. He goes on to say, it says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it yet, but I focus on this one thing. Oh, hang on. We're going to get this. Okay, that was my first faux pas. So are we good? Are we all good now? Okay, so here we go. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling me. Amen. Okay, so I bet you picked out from the yellow words what the three points are today. But we're going to talk about focus, we're going to talk about forgetting, and we're going to talk about looking forward. Okay? So as we look at focus, if you notice, the picture I picked is, you've got this focus point here, and then all around it, there's all of this fuzz, and there's this what I am going to call distractions. Okay? Because when we're focusing, there's things that distract us or fog or fuzz the things that we're looking at in life. And some of those distractions we look at are pain, anxiety, anger, fear, unforgiveness, shame. Do any of those ring real in your life? One thing you'll find is I'm like, we're sitting at Starbucks talking over coffee. Okay, that's the kind of atmosphere I love, because the reality is that people sometimes want to hide these things when we come down to it and say, this is dealing with real life. And though we are doing everything to follow Christ and to do those things, there are indeed negative distractions in our daily life that fog that focus as we're going. But see, then the Lord kind of pointed out to me that not only is it the negative things that can fog that focus, but if you look on here as well, you have comfort, you have success. Those kinds of things can also then fog that focus to where it comes down to a small point and we get our emphasis on what's going on around us, not on the pursuit that we have. Anybody get that? Anybody can to understand that? Okay, so what I'm going to say today, here's our statement for today, okay? Not today, Satan. Okay, now here's what we're going to do. You know, we get a little sassy, okay? And you get a little passion rolling up in you, and you got to put that pointer. Get your pointers out. You've all either pointed them or had them pointed at you, right? Well, this one we're pointing at the enemy himself. When those distractions are coming, whether good or positive or negative, those kind of things, what we say is we look him in the eye and we get that pointer out and we tell him, not today, Satan. I am not going to let that take away my focus. Rather, my choice is to hone in on that focus point. See, well, the next one talks about forgetting. The next point. Okay, so I'm a divorced girl, if you don't know my story. And I've heard people many times say, forgive and forget. Well, the deal is this. I don't let that fact dictate my life. And I don't let that fact own me. I don't let that fact cause issues in my life any longer. It's a fact. I still have to drop off a box that says D, divorce. So I don't forget it like it never happened. What I do is I disempower it. Jeannie Mayo puts it this way. She goes, don't feed the dog. The dog that you feed is the dog that will live. Okay? So I love this. I looked it up in Strong's. And Strong's gives the regular, you know, forget, leave behind, those kinds of things. But the implication that Strong's gave is what really hit me to the heart. The implication in forgetting is to neglect. Okay? So we fail to look after or care for it properly. We leave it alone. We abandon it, desert it. We literally forsake it. Okay, so I don't forget that things in my life happened because things happen. We lose jobs. We hit hard places. Relationships break. Those things happen, but what we do by disempowering them, by neglecting them, is that we put them in their place and we put Christ out forward. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Anybody had to do that in your life before? Yes, because it is a decision. That between a rock and a hard place. And so the story that comes to my mind as I'm talking this is in 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to give you cliff notes, and then we'll go to the scripture that kind of gets where we're going. The cliff notes are this. Elisha is the prophet. Okay, the king of Aram, they are in war with the Israelites. Okay? And so the king of Aram keeps setting up ambushes and places of war, those places of connecting. And what he finds out is every time he sets one up, the Israelite army finds out about it. Every time. And so he goes to his guys and he pulls his guys in. And he asks him, he goes, all right, so who's the traitor? Who is letting the Israelite army know when I set up an ambush or when I set up a point of connection? Who is doing that? Who's the traitor in our house? And the men say, it's not us. We're not telling. And one guy comes forward and he goes, it's that prophet Elijah. And he says, that prophet Elijah, you hear this, king, that prophet Elijah, he even tells you what you speak about in your bedroom. Holy buckets. You know what that? And so the king then switches his focus from the army and puts it on Elisha. And he's going after Elisha and he wants to do away with Elisha because Elisha is the one that's giving him those secrets. Okay, so let me give you here. When we come up to, not yet. Elisha and, let me tell you a little secret here, okay? There's one thing up here and the next screen is down here. This blonde girl can't hardly do that. That's way too much. Pastor, I applaud you. You're a wonderfully smart, all organized man. I'm like, where am I? I'm right there. Okay. So what we're talking about is that, okay? So they figured out that it's Elisha that's doing that, okay? And so when it comes down, the king says, you go after him. Find out where they are. So the king finds out where Elisha is, and Elisha is in Dothan. Okay, so he sends, and it says he sent a great army out to find Elisha. Okay, and so he gets there, then Elisha and his servant had gone to bed. They had gone to sleep. They get up in the morning, and the servant goes out, and I always picture like he goes out on a balcony. You know, that's always in my head. I don't know why. But I always picture that he goes out, and he says he looks out, and he sees that entire army, the Aramean army, sees them all out in front of them. Well, the young man freaks out, and he tells Elisha, he goes, what are we going to do? The army has surrounded us. And here's where this next screen comes in. Here's what Elisha says. He says, "Do not be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see." Now get this. Here's the fun part. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots. Wow. There's more on our side than is on theirs. So what did Elisha do? He said, "You know what? We're going to focus." He told his servant, "Don't focus on what's right here in front of you. I want you to focus on how God's got you covered. Because there's more on your side than there is on theirs." So what are we saying again? We are saying, "Not today, Satan." Though the enemy has a plan to take you out, we're saying, "Not on my watch," is what the Holy Spirit is saying. So regardless of what you're facing this morning, this was like so excited to just get up here and hop right into it. God's got your back. He's got your front. He's got your side. God's got it all. But we've got to be careful what we're focusing on. Amen? I want to share with you my life verse. And I got this back in college. The Lord gave it to me. And it comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. And it says, "And now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure." And I don't know about you, but I'm very aware that I am just a fragile clay jar. But the excitement comes in when I get into contact with and I focus on the fact that the very light of Jesus that broke into utter darkness resides within this fragile clay jar. And in that, this makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from us. There's no pride in that. There's a confidence in who we are in Christ. And we can boast of Christ all day long. Can I hear an amen? See, because we go on reading and it says, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed." We're going for between a rock and a breakthrough. And just a story I want to give you on a personal side of this. 1 year ago, I preached the Kentucky State Women's Conference, okay? And we had a time. You get a bunch of Kentucky women in a conference, and you have church. All weekend long, you have church. And we did. So we come to the end of this conference, and I felt like the Lord had given me a vision at the end of the conference. And it was this. It was like the state of Kentucky, a map of the state of Kentucky, and it was dark, okay? And what I pictured was throughout this weekend that we had shared together that the Lord had deposited that light within their fragile clay jars that would light up the darkness. And I told them, "Here, girls, here's what's going to happen. We're going to leave here, just like you're farming out those back doors. We're going to leave this place, and when we leave this place, we're like a pin light. You know that light that just is so piercing and so bright that in the deepest of darkness it's bright and shining? That's what each of these women were, and hundreds, multiple hundreds of women leaving that conference, going out into the state of Kentucky, all over the state of Kentucky. I saw on that map, the entire state lit up. Amen? Amen. See, that's why do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because we come in and get poured into so that we can go out and let it shine. Amen? Amen? That's exciting. Okay, so we closed conference, and I kept my hotel room an extra night. There was a revival going on in Paris, Kentucky, and I don't like to hear about revivals. I like to go to them. So I paid for my own room, stayed over, and was heading out to Paris, Kentucky for this revival. Well, I'm coming around the interstate, and there was some construction, and it was there in Lexington, Kentucky, and there was some construction. And within that, there was a backup that came around a hill, no chance to see it, and there was impact. Okay, so here's what I'm told. What I'm told is that the impact happened. I began to spiral across the interstate. I hit an embankment. And you know how sometimes you roll over an embankment and then go? My car did not. I hit it sideways, so it was this down the embankment. Okay, so when I hit that, I hit it so hard that every airbag in my car went off. I had no clue there were a million airbags in a little car. The front, the sides, the back came up from here, came up from here. They were everywhere, and they screech really, really loud, and they put off this fog, the smoke. Okay, so all that's going on, so everything's pure white, okay, and I'm doing this, and I hit a guard wire, okay, which was better than a guard rail, because when my car started to tip, that guard wire, I'm assuming, is what bounced me back. Okay, so as I'm tipping, I can see through the, you know, where the airbags are, and I can see that I'm closer to incoming traffic than I am to where I came off of the interstate at. But I come back down. With all of that went on, and with all the fog, and with all of the sound, and it's kind of deafening. And I tell you in all honesty, when that car bonked back down, I thought, this is how you transition. I thought it had killed me. I thought I was gone. There was this excitement and this anticipation that started rolling in my spirit. And I don't know if I said it out loud, but it was so real in my head. I said, Jesus, I'm about to see you face to face. I had no idea that that excitement would go up, would just fill my heart and my soul. And then I smelled smoke. Thought, well, I know I'm not going to hell. And I'm securing my salvation, so I got to get out of here. So I went from tears, like, oh no. So I'm trying to get out. My arm's stuck between that crazy bag. And so I yank my arm out, and I'm trying to get out, and I can't get out the passenger side. I can't get out this side because I'm against that crazy guardrail thing. And I can't get out this side because it's jammed. And so I don't know what happened. All I know is I turned around and I hit that side door with both feet as hard as I could possibly hit it. And it swung. And I was kind of jimmied, so it didn't swing all the way, so I had to kind of crawl out. So I get out of the car and I'm in an embankment. And I look up, and you got to picture this. I look up, and there is this grandmother and this granddaughter, hands extended over my car, praying in the spirit. It was awesome. Tears flowing, it was out there. And I couldn't hear anything because I was discombobulated, and I couldn't hear because I think probably because of that screeching, and I think the bag hit me in the face. And so I wasn't too there. But I could hear that grandma praying in the spirit over my car. Then she says, she leans toward me down the hill, and she says, in the best country, Kentucky lingo, you can say, baby. She goes, get up here. I got my heels on. I can't get to you. So I'm like 12, and I'm like, I'm coming. And so I go up the hill. I have one shoe on because my other shoe's somewhere in the picking car, you know, kind of thing. So I get up there. And here's what she tells me. And she's the one that told me what the wreck looked like. And she told me, she goes, honey, I ain't funky. I'm like, well, good. I'm glad to hear that. And she goes, I'm not crazy. She said, but I'm going to tell you what I saw. She goes, what I saw was when that impact happened, she goes, your car lit up. And she goes, as you were spiraling across and you hit that embankment, she goes, baby, baby was my name. She says, baby, when you went over that and I couldn't see you anymore, I could still see the light. Then she says, when your car came back down and you came barreling, is the word I believe she said, barreling out the side, she said, it was as if the sun itself was shining from behind you. Wow. And I'm like, but let me tell you something. I said, I just got done preaching at a women's conference. She's like, oh, glory. You know, one of those Kentuckian women, you know. She's like, yay. And so I told her, I said, what the Lord showed me was this. Is that those women were going to leave that auditorium and they were going to file out. And as they filed out, they were going to be a part of lighting up the state of Kentucky with the light of Jesus. What I didn't realize was what the Holy Spirit then just ministered to me in that moment. It's not just when I go in Target or I go in Walmart or I walk back in my house or I walk back into my home church. When my life is a wreck, He's still shining. When I feel like no one sees me, no one has a clue what I'm going through, when I'm out there on my own, He is still shining. When I feel like it is all over and I am said and done, I've either messed up so bad I can't recover, or I am just out, I'm burnt out, I'm whatever. When I feel like that, it's when He barrels out the most and proves Himself, not me. Can I hear an amen to that? And so this morning as I come to you, I feel like that's what the Lord is saying. We don't know what each other's going through. We don't know the situations. We don't know good, bad, or indifferent, but He does. And if you're sitting here this morning, I'm telling you, you're not between a rock and a hard place, regardless of what's standing in front of you. Regardless, you are between a rock and a breakthrough if you'll position yourself there. This has nothing to do with anything, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Okay, so, you know, I told you my car is like on fire or smoking and all that kind of stuff. Well, these Kentuckians, they're the sweetest people in the whole world. I'm Kentuckian, so I can say that. Well, my mom and dad are, so it makes me Kentuckian, right? Okay, so I get out of the car. There are cars lined up all the way down. I mean, like, burr, as far as I could see. So my first thought was, oh, Lord, how big was this accident? Because I had no clue. But they were just sweet. Just pulled over to see how I was, to watch things. Okay, but there's this one dude, and he ran down to my car because my car was still running. I just got out of it. I didn't turn it off or anything. So he gets in there, and he turns off my car, and then he grabs my shoe, and he brings me my shoe and brought me my watch, and he had an ice pack and all those kind of things. Real sweet guy. Then all of a sudden, you hear sirens coming from everywhere. You know how that is when there's an accident like that. Sirens coming from everywhere. All of a sudden, he looks at me, and he says, "You okay?" And I said, "Yes, sir. Thank you so much." He goes, "I got to go." The dude had a warrant. It was awesome. So my prosecutor office brain, which I just left to come here, my prosecutor's office brain goes to check out his license plate. And then I'm like, nobody go. Run. Run while you can run, buddy. I don't know what you did, but you helped me. So that was just for free. It was just fun. Okay, so then I'm standing at the top, okay? I'm standing at the top of the thing with the woman. People have came and gone, super sweet. They're making people start leaving. A female officer comes over to me, and she says, "Are you a Christian?" I'm like, "Do you see the light?" You know, you don't know by then. It's kind of funky, kind of weird. Okay, and she said, "No." Well, she didn't say no. She just looked down at my shirt, and here's what I'm wearing because it's what I wore to close the conference. Yeah, that's our God. That's who He is. Not today. So I'm standing by the road, everybody going by, got blood going down, that kind of thing. And we're seeing, and it's not today. And that was so awesome. I wanted to actually put a picture up there that showed me with people at the end of the conference with that shirt on. But that witnessed so hugely to me, church. I honestly don't think I would have left the prosecutor's office to come to Indy School of Leadership had that not happened. Because you know what? I'm living for bust. I'm living for bust. I'm going to live it out. God, whatever you want, not what I want, what you want, according to your plan, not my own plan. I'm not living it safe. Let's make a difference for the kingdom of God. Amen? You know, and as we're looking forward, that third point, I'm gonna wrap this up. As we're looking forward today, position yourself, church. Position yourself. If the enemy has been lying to you, position yourself, not looking at the rock. Because see, if we keep looking at the rock and we keep hitting up against it and there's that rock in that hard place, we're going to wear out. And the fact that you're here this morning tells me you're in the right place and you're making good decisions. We're here. We're assembling ourselves. We're here where we can get the anointing and we can get those things poured into us. But here's our choice. Our choice comes into positioning ourselves and going this direction and going toward the breakthrough. My closing thought in this is this. When you look at, and actually Pastor brought it up with when the Israelites were in the wilderness, okay, and they crossed the Red Sea. The Lord taught me something big in this, in our positioning, and our taking our place. You know, we all know the story, or most of us know the story, of where they crossed the Red Sea. How many of you know that story? Yeah, okay, so we know the story in the house. Okay, that the children of Israel came up, God split the sea, and it was beautiful. There was a miracle, and they walked across the Red Sea. But see, if you keep reading, and something I had never picked out, and I've heard this song a million times over the years, or that story a million times over the years. I even saw it on the flannel graph. Anybody see that story on the flannel graph? Yeah, so my whole life, from kid up. But the thing that had never hit my spirit was this. It says, when they got to the other side, after Moses got them to the other side, and all the children of Israel are over here, and they're on the other side. Do you know what God told Moses? He said, Moses, when they all get over here, here's what I want you to do. He goes, and as the morning rose, it said that Moses did it. It said that he extended his hand over the waters and shut the back door behind him. Church, that's all we've got to do. Because see, we get in the position and we go toward that breakthrough. But see, the enemy has been coming after us. And he's even coming across the Red Sea of the miracle that the Lord has done for you. But they're still coming. Okay? But when they got over there and they got into safety, he says, turn around. And he goes, we need to obey quickly. Because you think, had Moses not obeyed quickly, the strongest of Pharaoh's army very likely would have gotten through and continued to antagonize them to the promised land. Am I right? Had he not at all chosen to not obey, then a whole army would have came through that didn't get stuck in the mud. But see, when you read that scripture there in Exodus chapter 14, it said he turned and he shut the waters by the power of God. And it says that not one of Pharaoh's army made it through to the other side. Wow. So church, I'm going to ask you if you would stand with me. I just have to believe that the Lord allowed me to preach this sermon today because there's some people in this house. You have fought hard and you have fought long and you are crazy in love with Jesus, but stuff happens. Stuff happens. And this morning, what I feel like the Lord is saying to you is he's like, you know what? I got you. I got you. He's come to fan into flame that spirit anointing in your life and that reality of who he is in your life. You don't have to do it on your own. He's got you. So if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm telling you, it's the best decision you'll ever make. Because when life's a wreck, you're not in that car by yourself. And when you're trying to get out, you can't get out. He'll give you a way out. And he'll have a family with their hands extended over you, not being negative about you, not judging you, but saying, come on, baby, come on, get up here. Come on. Oh, my word. He's that awesome. He loves you that much, church. That's what he wants you to know this morning. He is crazy in love with you. And he did it all to offer you eternal life. But not just eternal life, but abundantly, exceedingly abundantly, more than you can ask for or think. Right here, when the army's here, he's got you. Can I hear an amen? So if you're in here and you don't know Jesus as Savior, and you want to pray that prayer of salvation, I'm going to ask you, just wave at me. Anybody in the house, you say, you know what, I need Jesus on my side. Anybody in the house? I'm checking it out. I'm looking. Okay, so then here's where we're going, and this is what I expected to go, especially first service is this. Church, he's talking to you. And this morning, if you can say, Kim, you know what, I get you.
And that is exactly where I am, or that is exactly where someone I love is. I'm going to ask you to do something kind of crazy. Is that okay? That's my first time preaching. Might be my last. But I'm going to ask you to do something crazy. I'm going to ask you to move. And upstairs, don't feel like you have to come all the way down, but I think there is a power to moving, whether it's into an aisle. But down here, I'm saying, you know what? Let's move forward. If this is you, I'm going to ask you to fill up this altar space. If you can say, Kim, I can identify with that. And I need to be touched by the Father's hand to be ignited within. Are you guys up for that? Are you up for that? We're going to start singing this song. And as we do, I'm going to ask you just to fill in if that's you, and we can do a corporate prayer of empowerment. Here we go.
Of the one and the only.
church, let's sing it.
It's who he is. Praise God.